They called him Captain. They sometimes called him Captain. And it was fitting, considering his rank in the militia during the war, equally appropriate to the leadership role that he required some years later in his political party, the Whig Party. Jim Semple was Speaker of the State House of Representatives in those days, but the captain was Whig floor leader, and as such, he also led a small but economically aggressive group of Whigs called the Long Nine. Remember that, they're called the Long Nine. Now, politicians are famous for hidden agenda, as the captain often boldly admitted, and yet rarely did he disclose his own hidden agenda. I'm going to tell you what he wanted. He wanted to live and work in a city that could serve as his power base. A big, progressive town where things were happening and where he could make them happen. Unfortunately, the state capital was far from such a place in both distance and potential, so the captain decided, one way or another, he was going to have his state's government, all of it, moved. Impossible, you say? Well, now remember, he's in charge of the influential Long Nine. He's floor leader of his party. He's chairman of the House Finance Committee. He's one of the best arm twisters in the state. And so, the captain embarked upon the most arduous odyssey of his political life theretofore. He was going to move his state's capital. Understandably, the majority of legislators resisted such a notion, and yet more than a few were willing to be bought for political favors, for the support of an improved road or a deepened river or a canal project or a railroad venture. And as the captain's movement to relocate the capital picked up steam, those opposed awakened to do battle. Leader of the opposition, a legislator named Linder, developed a clever scheme. He called for a sweeping investigation of the state bank in the proposed new capital. A thinly veiled message being, quote, forget about becoming the new seat of government or else. And if you will forget about it, we'll let you keep your state bank. Well, immediately the captain leaped to the institution's defense. After several days of verbal scuffling on the House floor, the bank was cleared of all impropriety. But there still wasn't enough support to move the Capitol, and the motion was defeated by one vote. So in desperation, the captain mobilized the Long Nine. They rounded up absent House members. They reminded vulnerable opponents of past political debts. And when persuasion failed, the captain and his cronies used threats. It took a joint session of the House and Senate and four ballots, but the measure did pass, and the state capital, as of February 28, 1837, was officially and forever elsewhere. The move represented one of the most daring wheeling dealings in the history of that state, thanks to the Long Nine. So called because the average height of the nine legislators was more than 6 feet. A statistic greatly enhanced by the inclusion of their leader, the captain, the most important of those responsible for moving Illinois' capital, from Vandalia to Springfield. By the way, in order to achieve this goal, the captain made an interesting compromise. For while the Springfield's deals were being cut, a series of pro-slavery resolutions were cast before the General Assembly. I said pro-slavery resolutions. And the resolutions passed, at least in part because this one powerful legislator, reluctant to rock the boat, kept his mouth shut and allowed the pro-slavery resolution to pass. The captain was former militia captain of the Black Hawk War, whom you know as Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, pro-slavery? Now you know the rest of the story.